Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you this morning. Did you enjoy worship? Some of that may be new to some of you. You say, man, they really get intense in worship. Well, we got intense for the world, so we figured we better be intense for God, too. I'm not one to, you know, kind of, I mean, I don't know about you. I don't know what your background is. Maybe you were in church all your life. You were raised in a good family, and you chose to make really good decisions. And, you know, sometimes we have people are coming to the church from all sorts of different denominational backgrounds, but you know, honestly, denomination is something that man came up with. It's not something that the Lord devised. And so we need to follow the pattern of the Bible when it comes to worship of the Lord, including in our corporate worship. You say, what's the difference? Well, individual worship is from day to day. You know, in your daily life, you can worship the Lord. Of course, we're talking about worship right now. But in corporate worship, we need to be able to follow the pattern of the Lord. You know, some people say, well, the music was too loud, or the music was too quiet, or your hymns are too old. Of course, we don't have a lot of hymns. But your music's too new, this, that, and the other. Or, you know, those people are a little crazy for Jesus. Listen, you might as well do it now, because it's going to be loud in heaven. Okay, if you read the book of Revelation, you know, I mean, there's people falling on their face, there's elders throwing their crowns at Jesus' feet. I mean, it's going to be quite the scene, and there's going to be a whole lot of people that were raised in a very religion, very tight, very concise religion that was, you know, reverent to the point of almost dead. But because there's a time for reverence, and they're going to get to heaven and go, whoa, we did it wrong on the earth. So we don't want to do it wrong. We're not making fun of anybody else. It's just that if you look through the Bible when it comes to worship and things like that, you'll see some pretty radical things that people did. And we live in a society in America that is, well, it's drifted away from the Lord and biblical truths in a lot of ways. And so But there are those that are rising up that really love the Lord and really want to do what God has called them to do and really serve Him and not follow popular opinion. Do you know that there is so much church in America and really around the world that there is now a church culture, a church clique? We do church this way, and if you don't do church this way, then you're wrong. Actually, if we do church according to the Bible, we're good. Everything else, sound equipment, TV screens versus projectors, versus lights versus no lights, versus we have to have laser lights, versus smoke machines or no smoke machines, or we have a giant granite altar in front, and our pastors wear long robes with collars and swing things with smoke in them. You know what I mean? I've been in all kind of services, guys, and a lot of times, I'll tell you what, all that is formats we choose. As long as your heart is right before the Lord and you're following the pattern of the Word, you're going to be safe. Amen? So when it comes to worship, even, you know, I'm going to make a statement here, and I hope you understand it. This is just some things that came up in my heart during the worship time. When we talk about Jesus breaking every chain, listen, Jesus, everywhere He went, if you read through the Gospels, He messed things up for the enemy. You know what I mean? People don't need just nice, kind words and little stories that make them laugh and they can go home and have a thought. You don't need a thought. You need a deliverer and a savior. There's enough thoughts rolling around the earth for everybody, but we don't just believe that Jesus was a good man who taught nice things. He is the Son of God, the only way to heaven. He is the only God, the only one. There is no other. He is the one, the sole, true Savior of all humanity. And He didn't come to earth just so that you would know that, you know, that God was real. He didn't just come to earth so that you could say, oh, did you hear the words of Jesus? He came to earth so that your mind could be transformed and your whole life could be changed. He didn't want to just penetrate your thoughts. He wants to penetrate your whole being. He doesn't want to just change the way you think and heal your body or your mind. He literally came to change your spirit from one of a sin nature to one of a righteous nature. And so all things come together and play together. You say, what do you mean? Worship. Worship is a part of that. Because when you worship, and we talked about this before, you open yourself up to whatever you worship. Whatever you worship, you serve. You remember Jesus, Satan was tempting Jesus. And Satan said, look, bow down and worship me. And I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. Bow down and worship me. I'll give you the whole kingdom. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. Jesus responded to him with the scripture and said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you what? Serve. Why? Because worship and service go hand in hand. Whatever you give your eyes to, whatever you give your ears to, whatever you submit or bow down to, you are opening your heart to. And whatever you open your heart to then becomes a part of who you are. That's why there's certain music I never listen to. I just don't. I don't need it in me. It doesn't need to be a part of me. Music has this way of softening the soul and opening the heart. It has this way of working into your whole being. Several years ago, there was a shooting in Columbine. Do you guys remember that, the school shooting? And there was a girl that was murdered in that process. There were two or three boys that went on a rampage. And there was a girl in that process that was killed, and her name was Rachel Scott. I don't know if you remember that, but there's a book about her called Rachel Scott. It's very interesting. Here's some interesting things for you, since I have your attention with the story. I read the book. I have the book. Well, maybe I gave it away. But I read the book, and I went through it. Rachel Scott's very interesting. She knew she would never get married. She's a Christian girl. And her parents, even when she was real young, her parents would talk to her about getting married and having kids, and they were excited because they were going to have grandkids, and she would just get quiet. And she actually told her parents, Mom, I don't think I'm ever getting married. And the Lord had been dealing with her, and she had given her life so much to the Lord that she knew that she was going to be a martyr for the Lord. She knew she was going to lay her life down for the Lord. She just didn't know in what degree or when. Now, it's interesting because she always talked about that she would be a minister and that she would preach to the world. But what people don't realize is people think, well, she was killed. How come it never happened? At her funeral, she preached to the whole world because it was on like CNN or NBC or something like that. And they shared her testimony. And now, you may not realize it. Some of you might. But have you ever heard of Rachel's Challenge? It goes through the public schools about not bullying. That is Rachel Scott. That is her dad. Now, this is interesting. Years and years ago, God had given a dream to a billionaire. Okay, about a rose with 13 tears coming off it. Right before Rachel Scott was killed, she had a diary, and she drew a rose in her diary with 13 tears coming off of it. And after Rachel Scott was killed, this billionaire kept trying to get a hold of her dad. I need to see what was in her diary, because he felt like that was the connection. Well, he had a dream about the rose, of course. This is interesting, but he had a dream about the, and they ended up seeing the rose. And when he did, he said, I'm going to fund your ministry, whatever you do, talking to her dad, who was a minister at one time. And so she has literally continued to preach all over the world. She just did it by her death. And people think, well, what? She got a better resurrection. The scripture says if we lay down our life, for a shortened period here on earth, you get a better resurrection. Now, what that means, I don't know. But I know this about God. He knows how to do better. If anybody knows how to do better, God does. Also interesting, 13 tears. Do you know how many students were killed in Columbine? There were 12. One teacher. Jesus was the teacher, and how many disciples were there? 12. Isn't that interesting? It's a testimony. Hey, Jesus is going, I'm here. You see that? But the reason why I got off on that, that's the positive side of it. Now I'm going to go flip to the negative side. The reason why I got off on that is because the men that went through and killed everybody had given themselves over to like things with Hitler and extreme. That was when extreme like goth music was in. Heavy, dark, rage, vulgar music that was angry. Here's another side to that story. Okay? I know an evangelist. I've traveled in the car with him. I've spent time with him. He's out of Colorado Springs. During that time in the 90s, goth music was very in, okay? Do you guys see, this is my age, because I graduated high school in the 90s. And I know I look younger than that, but I better make them laugh. It was getting pretty intense there. trench coats were in, like the long black trench coats. In fact, they at our school, they said you couldn't wear them after a while because people were hiding weapons underneath them and stuff like that. We actually had a kid show up to our school with the 22 with a list of people that he was going to kill, and I went to West High. So, and that was all kind of around those years. Well, anyway, those kind of concerts and stuff were real popular as well. And there was a band that was a Christian band, but they would go into the secular world and sing their music. They had that, they shared the same style, but their words were different, obviously. And they got invited to a concert to perform. They were really good. And the guy that owned the club really liked them. He just said, look, you guys cannot preach in between your songs. You can sing your songs, but don't talk about Jesus. If you talk about Jesus, I'm going to kick you out and you're never coming back. Well, this band went to this concert. And the lead singer of the concert, they're praying before the concert. Do you know you can pray anywhere? Even in the middle of a goth concert. I'm not suggesting that you go. I'm just saying you can do it. You know, there are people that are called to be just in the most interesting places, you know, to dig people out of the gutters. This is the interesting thing about this story. They're at that concert praying before the concert. They're in their songs. And in the middle of their set of songs that they're doing, the Holy Spirit kept dealing with this lead singer. Share Jesus. Share Jesus. Share Jesus. And he's like, no, I can't. He said, Lord, he said, the head guy told me not to. He's going to unplug. He'll cut me off. And the Lord kept dealing with him. I don't care. Share me. And he said, this is what I want you to tell. This is what I want you to say. He said, I want you to say there are boys here, there are young men here that are in high school that are planning to do something that you know you shouldn't do. And the Lord's telling you, don't do it. That he loves you, that he cares about you, and this is not the direction that you're supposed to go. So he did it. Of course, he got the plug pulled on him, which is fine. Do you know who was in that concert? Those boys that shot up that school in Columbine. See, the Lord will do everything he can to get your attention. But he can't control you. And he won't try. You have to decide. It's your choice. It comes down to, and this is exactly the way Jesus was. You think about the rich young ruler that came up to him. I know I'm shooting off the hip here. It's all right. This is overflow. You think about the rich young ruler that came to him. The rich young ruler walked up to him and said, Jesus. You know, a lot of people are amazed by Jesus. Even people that don't believe he's the Son of God. They're like, man, that guy did a lot. They've given up trying to disprove that he was alive. That's tough. There's so much evidence. But they're amazed by Jesus. But it doesn't go beyond that. They're impressed by him. Oh, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to go with you. The rich young ruler comes up to him. And he says, what must I do to be saved? So he tells him. And he said, oh, I've done that all from my youth. And Jesus looks at the man and says, it says he loved him. He loved him. Jesus loved that man. And then he said, you lack one thing. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And the Bible says that the man was sad and walked away sad. Why? What was higher in his life than salvation? Money. See, but did Jesus present to him what he needed? Oh, yeah. You see, let me bring this down even further, because I've been in ministry long enough now to kind of get this sense of how things go, and we'll get to the message, maybe. I'm just going to let the Lord lead me. But Let me say this. A lot of times people think, like I've had people get so mad at me after I got done preaching. I've had people that just, they hate me. Because you know why? Do you know what the real issue is though? Now, if I did something to offend you, of course, I want to change. I don't want you to just, well, you know, our preacher's pretty good. You know, he's pretty good. He says some nice things. I don't want you to just think, well, he's pretty intellectual. That guy's pretty entertaining. He's funny. Those are all good things, but there's only one reason why the minister is that way. If they're really called of God, they're anointed to do what they're doing. What do you mean? That means that God's hand's on my life to pastor. That's what that means. So what does that mean? That just means that's what he's called me and gifted me to do, so I'm going to do it. But if I'm sharing with you scriptures and they're making you mad, don't associate it with me. Because we're wrapping up the final series in our foundation series here. The final lesson. Now, all of them are available online. If you haven't been here that long, I suggest you back, download them, and listen to them. Because it's the foundation for what we believe. And we're going to be moving into more and more subjects. And like I said, we all have different backgrounds. We come from, you know, I was raised four square. I went to an Assemblies of God church for a while. My grandparents, I've talked about this before, went to an Episcopal church in town here. I've been in all kinds of services. But the one thing that I've found, there's only one thing that changes your life, and it's the Word of God. Tradition is tradition. You know, if I feel like the Lord's saying, you know what? Next week, Sean, the move of the Lord is no chairs. We all sit on the floor. People are like, I really like my chair. I sit here every week. It's, you know what? Chairs are something that are comfortable and nice, but where are they in the Bible? Somebody's going to go look up chairs. You go, I found 10 scriptures on chairs, Sean. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying there's a decision that you have to make if the Word of God comes to you, whether you're going to submit to it or not. I can't make you. There are people that are so mad at preachers or ministers or different denominations or things like that. Listen, if it was the word that you were given, the Word of God, you need to take that whole situation to the Lord and look at it and go, Lord, what's you and what's not? But let me say this, there is no spiritual growth without having the fivefold ministries speaking into your life. You say, what do you mean by that? Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. And they're all in the earth today. Listen to me. There is no spiritual growth. You say, how do you know that? Read Ephesians 4. The Bible says that Jesus gave the gifts of the Spirit to the church, the fivefold ministry gifts, for what? For the edification, the building up, the teaching, the correcting, the development, for the spiritual growth of what? The church. If you don't have those things in your life, you will not grow spiritually. I know people, because I run around Word of Faith and Pentecostal and all sorts of different circles, and there are people that think because they have the Holy Ghost and they have and they know Jesus and Jesus is the head of the church, that they don't need anybody else. They can just lock themselves up somewhere and pray and fast and hear from God for themselves. You can hear from God for yourselves. But there are some things that, you know, you understand that that is like saying this, that I'm a whole body if I'm just a hand. What if my hand just got up here? You'd all have to know sign language. Yeah, because it would just... Where's Pastor Sean? Well, he doesn't believe in the rest of the body. I know it sounds funny, and it's supposed to be, okay? But we need it all. Yeah, you definitely should be fellowshipping outside of the church with people who love the Lord and having a Bible study or praying together, whatever you do. Absolutely, do it. I'm not going to stop you. I can't stop you. I don't got time to stop you. I got other things to do. But you also need the ministry gifts. They're a necessity. They're an absolute necessity. Amen? Do I like hear frogs or something? What do I hear? What is it? Oh, the heaters? Yeah, it is the heaters. We're warming up. All right, let me give you a few announcements. That was all for free. So, May 24th is next Sunday, and we are having Communion Sunday next Sunday. I know I'm making a shift here quick, but I want to wrap up this series today. Next week is May 3rd, or I'm sorry, 2 weeks from now is May 31st, and my wife wanted me to remind you that we are having the barbecue next week, and we're believing God for no rain, because it'd be tough to get everybody in my house. 2 weeks, yeah. Did I say next week? I meant 2 weeks. Thank you. So May 31st is the Faith Family Barbecue. There's a sign-up sheet as you come in, not just the one for the ranch, but there's one next to it. If you'd like to come, sign your name on there, and then we will supply the meat and drinks, the church will. What we're asking you is to bring something to share, and I think my wife put on there the list of what they are. And then also bring your own lawn chairs. I just don't have enough lawn chairs. We'll have some there, but if you want to bring some, everybody usually has lawn chairs. You know, the fold-out ones that are in the bag. So you can, if you want to grab those, please do, and bring those. We have a trampoline at the house, and then also like a plaything. It's got swings and a slide. All right, I don't know what you call it, but and we got a real big yard. We may set up maybe a volleyball net or something like that too. If you know, we'll give the kids will have plenty of space to run, to hang out. So, are we doing okay? Did you learn anything yet? Thank God, huh? Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who teaches us. I guess one of my main thoughts in that too is that look, we're going to do things a little differently maybe than what you're used to, but let's go back to the Word and see if it's in there, okay? And if it does, if the Word doesn't address it, as long as it isn't harming anybody, don't worry about it, you know? It's like I'm pretty sure, well, in fact, I'm almost positive Jesus did not have a TV with him when he was speaking. But you know what? It doesn't really matter. It's just a medium that we can use so you can see the words. You know what I mean? Or so we can play a video or whatever. So how many are thankful for this new stuff we got? The sound and stuff? Praise the Lord, man. I am thankful. We are increasing. And eventually here, we are looking, just so you know, the board and the leadership are looking for another building. One that we can purchase or either lease, rent to owner first or whatever, but purchase. And we've been looking for one so that we can, we have set up every Saturday at 4, and then we have tear down after church and things like that. And it just, we're okay with that because we're doing it for the Lord, so that's all that matters. He'll take care of us. But if you want to be involved with that, you can. Come talk to us afterwards. But we want to be able to set up and have our own place. So if you want to be praying about that with us, that would be much appreciated. The Lord's going to do some good things, and we're going to add more services. In the future here coming up, eventually I will have a midweek service, and it's going to be a discipleship-type setting only. I really have it on my heart. Now, this is subject to change, except for the fact that it keeps getting stronger on my heart, so it probably won't. But the midweek service will be a service where it will be teaching, but it will be open for questions and answers. Okay, it's going to be more of a discipleship setting. Now, we will still have children's and nursery and stuff like that available, of course, for the kids. In fact, the curriculum that we use for the children's ministry has even more in-depth discipleship stuff that we just don't have time to do. So we're going to incorporate that at that time as well. So that is something that you can be praying about and thinking about with us. We're so thankful for what the Lord's doing. You know, in a little over 6 months, we've more than doubled. So, there we go, right? The Lord's in it. Of course, if it was just me here, I was convinced I heard before I ever started, so I'd preach to myself. I'd give a point, and then I'd go sit down and say, that's a good point, Sean. And some of you that know me know I would do that. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. So sometimes you got to turn around when you're preaching and go, that is a good point. Amen. This is an interesting service today. Okay. I'm going to review a little bit here. You know what? I'm just going to read over it quickly. But if you want to open up to, somebody say finally. If you want to open up to Luke chapter 7, please.
I'm just going to review. The first week on worship, we talked about what is worship, and we gave the definition of worship, looking at Abraham, Genesis chapter 22. The second week, we talked about why is worshiping God so important. We went through several different things. God commanded us to worship Him. It shows God that He is first place in our lives, keeps you from being deceived. Worship does, as long as you worship the Lord. It is an act of faith, and it keeps us focused on God and His promises. The third week, which was not last week, but the week before, because my wife preached last week, shared last week. How many enjoyed her? She did a good job, didn't she? She can get it done too. So, how do I worship God was the third week. We talked about obeying the word of God, and we worship God with our bodies, talking about that we give ourselves as living sacrifices to the Lord. So today I want to talk about, and I want to wrap it up with, examples of worship. So this is drawing near part four, entitled Examples of Worship, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 7. And I just want to encourage you today. These are just basically, I'm going to give two stories out of Luke, and we're going to look for the attributes of worship in these two stories. So this is not a lot of definitions. This is not a lot of breaking it down, because we've already looked at the definition of worship. But what this is giving you examples of worship in the Word. So Luke chapter 7, and I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation, so it's going to be different than what you got. But if you just want to write down Luke 7, verse 36 through 50, you can look at your version later, but I'd encourage you to just listen to me for now. The title of this particular section in the Passion Translation, which I recommend the Passion Translation if you don't have it, they only have certain books out actually at this point, so you're going to have to get it in pieces, but every piece that comes out I grab, so it's really good. It says this: afterward, a Jewish religious leader named Simon asked Jesus to his home for dinner. Jesus accepted the invitation. When he went to Simon's home, he took his place at the table. I love this. Listen to this closely. In the neighborhood, there was an immoral woman of the streets, known to all to be a prostitute. When she heard about Jesus being in Simon's house, she took an exquisite flask made from alabaster, filled it with the most expensive perfume, went right into the home of the religious leader, and knelt at the feet of Jesus in front of all the guests. Broken and weeping, she covered his feet with the tears that fell from her face. She kept crying and drying his feet with her long hair. Over and over, she kissed Jesus' feet. Then she opened her flask and anointed his feet with her costly perfume as an act of worship. When Simon saw what was happening, he thought. Notice he didn't say, he thought. This man can't be a true prophet. If he were really a prophet, he would know what kind of sinful woman is touching him. Jesus said, I love this, Simon, I have a word for you. What is Simon about to learn? Jesus is a prophet. Because remember, Simon did what? He thought it. He didn't say it. He thought it. So how does Jesus know what he's thinking? You ever think about that? Isn't that interesting? It's an interesting thought. You need to think about that, because the more you know God and the more you know the Holy Spirit, sometimes that'll happen to you. Somebody will say something to you, but you know their motivation more than their words. Something to learn. We'll get there. We're growing, right? So he said, Simon, I have a word for you. Go ahead, teacher. I want to hear it, he answered. Remember when we talked about Jesus' words could be offensive? Now, don't take this to heart from the preacher. This is from Jesus, right? He says, I want to hear what you have to say. It's a story about two men who were deeply in debt. One owed the bank $100,000, and the other only owed $10,000. When it was obvious that neither of them would be able to repay their debts, the kind banker graciously wrote off the debts and forgave them all that they owed. Say amen. Tell me, Simon, which of the two debtors would be the most thankful? Which one would love the banker most? Simon answered, I suppose it would be the one with the greatest debt forgiven. You're right, Jesus agreed. Then he spoke to Simon about the woman still weeping at his feet. Don't you see this woman kneeling here? She is doing for me what you didn't bother to do. Remember, Simon wanted to hear the word. Okay? Sometimes when you pray and you say, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Your servant awaits. Just remember, you may hear something you don't want to hear. Okay? All right. When I entered your home as your guest, you didn't think about offering me water to wash the dust off my feet. Now think about this. This woman is crying and wiping dirt off Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears. And she's kissing his feet. Now you got to think about that. Jesus was not wearing Nikes. You know? He did not have alligator shoes, you know? He wasn't like, he wasn't wearing the fanciest shoe. No, he's probably wearing a pretty nice shoe for that day. But in that culture, what were the shoes? Yeah, did Jesus roll around in a Lexus? No, he had donkeys and feet, okay? Which means what? Were their streets paved? No, they weren't. They were just dust. She is cleaning his feet. You know what else happens in a street where animals are everywhere too? How would you like it if I walked through the pasture out there in sandals and then came in and said, you need to wash my feet with your tears in your hair? Yeah, and kissing them. I forgot about that, yes. Now, I know Jesus didn't tell her to do it, but you understand, I want you to get a picture of what's happening here. Is she, now what's the definition of worship? To bow, to lower yourself, to submit yourself under another. Is she worshiping him? Yes, she is. She is in a house full of the top religious leaders of the day. She is a prostitute, and she is serving God better than every one of those religious leaders. Think about it. God is not religious. He is relationship oriented. People say, well, I've done too much wrong. Nope. Now, I'm not encouraging you to try and see how much wrong you can do. Well, you don't know what I've done. No, we don't understand God's love. What you've done wrong is not stopping God from working in your life. Your lack of worship is. You see that? Okay. Think about it. It's our lack of, God, you're right. I submit. There is no sin. There is no power. There is no chain of the enemy that can stop God from moving in your life. It's us that stops God from working in our lives. Me included. There has to be, the scripture says here, when she heard Jesus was in Simon's house. When she heard, I wonder what she heard about Jesus. What would make a prostitute who is a known prostitute even show up? What example did Jesus show to her or to others and then who spoke to her? Who knows? Maybe her prostitute friends got saved. Right? I mean, their day was not much different than ours. In other words, when you have something radical happen in your life and Jesus does something in your life that's amazing, you go tell somebody. When you have an experience with God, it shows up. And people go, what happened to you? And she could have been getting ready for her work for that night. You know, whatever prostitutes do, I don't know. Apparently, there's a specific look that they have because everybody knew what this woman did. She was a known prostitute. And when she was getting ready, she saw one of her other prostitute friends. Hey, well, I'm going out tonight. Are you going out? No, I'm not going out. Why not? Don't you have to make money? You know, I met Jesus. And that's how things start to change. And so then she heard, hey, Jesus is going to be in town this week. He's going over to so-and-so's house. Who? Simon. Simon? Yeah, the religious leader guy. He's having Jesus over for dinner. She heard about it somehow. And then this process begins to happen. You know, I've heard a lot about Jesus. I've heard a lot about him. And she starts to think, and the Holy Spirit starts working on her heart. And she has this decision to make. Will I set aside my sin and my pride and yield and worship this man? Or will I be afraid of public opinion and religious leaders and stay away? And so this woman, I mean, she goes all out. She doesn't just like, you know, yeah, I'm going to show up and see if Jesus will pray for me. She starts searching through her house. What do I got that I could give him? I got an alabaster box. And I got that really expensive perfume. Do you see what's going on here? She is beginning to what? She's already in the process of worshiping. Taking things that are precious in her life. Setting aside her personal pride. Setting aside what other people might think of her. Setting aside what she would consider, oh, that perfume is very expensive. Now, I don't know if I want to give Jesus that. And it's not like she was like, here, Jesus, you know, this is the best expensive perfume that I have, and I want you to take it. No, no. She dumps it on his feet. She just gives it all. It's not like she didn't hold anything back. She just worshiped. Boom. There it is. This is an example, a definition of worship. It's a definition of worship. And it's interesting to me because the religious leaders were not the best worshipers in this situation. And really, they should have been. Who was the best worshiper? The prostitute. That's good news for us. Because I am not a professional religious man. When Jesus found me, I was probably just as dirty as she. I mean, I'm not going to go into detail of my life before I was saved. But you know what? Jesus, when I came to him, it's yours, God. In fact, I remember when I got saved, I was 19, I had a group of friends. And we caused a lot of problems. And everywhere we went, we just seemed to find trouble. Or maybe we were the trouble. I think we were the trouble. I mean, we ended up going to church camp is what it was, and it was the last year I could go, so I thought I'd go and get a girlfriend. And I actually found my wife, so that worked out well. So if any are looking, church camp is a good place. side note. But anyway, so we were just going to just cause problems, you know what I mean? I was not going to seek God. God found me while I was there. But I looked at my friends. We were all sitting in the very back row. If you're sitting in the back row, it's nothing against you, okay? We were sitting in the back row. And I'm listening to this guy preach, and I'm going, I mean, the Holy Spirit's messing with me. I'm going, Lord. And he's saying, Sean, I want you. I'm going, no, you don't, Lord. I am one dirty, dirty guy. I'm one messed up dude. He's like, yeah, that's what I want. I want you. Lord, you don't want me. Yeah, I want you. You see, people don't realize this, but this is what the Lord's saying to them. I do want you. Well, I'm messed up. He's aware of what you are. He is so aware. He's more aware of what you are than you are. He could reveal things to you about you. But does he? No. The Holy Spirit's not beating you up. He's trying to draw you in. And so I'm sitting there. And finally, I mean, the altar calls, this was a Pentecostal church camp. So the altar call went on for like an hour. There's still more. I know it. There was, yeah. It's a good thing it went on and on. You know. And so I'm sitting there, and I looked at all my friends who were all under conviction. All of us are. And I looked at them and I said, guys, if I don't go now, I'll never go. Those are the words out of my mouth. And I went. And the rest is history. I was 19 years old. I was raised in church. I did a good job of not being a Christian, but I was raised in church. And I left. And I'm friends with one of those people today. The rest of them, I don't know. But you know, I got a lot more friends now. Literally all over the world. Because God gave back to me what I had lost. Not that, you know, I mean, I consider those, I've shared the Lord with those people and tried to get them to come to church. In fact, my other friend of mine who, he ended up going to Bible college as well and graduating from Bible college and does ministry today. And we've tried to witness to them, you know, when we can or when we see them. It doesn't always happen the way you want it to. But we've continued to serve the Lord. I believe that when I said that, if I don't do it now, I'll never do it. I believe that I probably wouldn't have. I had rejected the Lord so many times and said, no, that I don't know if it would have been made permanent or not. I don't know. I mean, I can't say because I made a decision and the Lord's helped me since then. But what I did in that moment is I laid down what they thought of me and I worshiped God. What this prostitute did in this moment was, I don't care what the religious leaders think. I don't care about this, what this perfume costs. I don't care about this nice vase. I don't care about my tears. I don't care about my hair getting dirty with the dust. I want to receive what you have, Jesus. Amen. I want to take in who you are.
That's right.
I've tried this other life, and none of these multiple relationships that I've been in has ever satisfied me. I've gotten to this point. So now I need saving. I need life. And see, what Jesus offered was not a set of rules, but an actual transmission of Holy Ghost life. It was the nature of God. Peace, when you lay your head down at night. You know, you do not have to live in a constant fight with depression. You don't. You don't. Jesus is more than enough. You say, then what do I need to do? Submit to his promise. Yield to him. Begin the conversation with him. When you see the promises in the word about joy and unspeakable joy, and the fruit of the Spirit is joy, talking about in Galatians 5. When you see those things, that the joy of the Lord is your strength, you say, Lord, I do not feel like this. My mind is going this direction, and my feelings feel like they're going this direction, and I do not feel like I have joy. But you said in your word you do, so I'm just going to go ahead and bow down and wash your feet with my tears right now. And submit to you. And when you do that, what you worship, you open up to. Listen to me. Open up to Jesus. He ain't gonna hurt you. If God needed a reason to hurt you, we'd all be dead. You realize that? I mean, think about it. He made man to hang out with, and man said, no, I don't want to hang out with you. I'm going to hang out with the devil. And what does God do? He doesn't do like humans do. Oh, you reject me? I'm going to reject you. He doesn't, oh, you hit me? I'm going to hit you back. You know what God does? He says, they rejected us, guys. Yeah. Jesus, you ready to go? Yep, ready to go. What are you going to do for them? I'm not going to send lightning down on them. I'm going to send my son, let the people kill him in their place, and then whoever believes in that will be received back if they're born again. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You realize that's why you're hating God. That's why you're cussing God. That's why you're saying, God, you did all this to me, and you're blaming him for things that Satan has done. He died for you. That was enough for me. It's like, I know what I did. You know, people have secret lives. This is church world. Real world happens when everybody leaves. And as soon as the doors on the car shut, and the kids are in the back going, and mom's going, if you don't shut up, I'm going to come back there and make you shut up. I got duct tape. I will use the duct tape. This is church world, you know. Everybody takes a shower, does their hair. At least most people, unless they don't have any. Gets their nice clothes on. Comes to church and smiles. Oh, it's good to see you. Including the preachers, okay? It's everybody. But God wants to be a part of every area of our lives. And we can worship him this way. Let's look at one more and then we'll quit. Next week, we're going to start a new series called The Path of Light. And what we're going to get into is forming what we believe from the Bible, showing how the Bible is a path of light. The scripture talks about it. Okay, I love this story, so I'm going to go through it pretty quick here. But this is Zacchaeus. I learned this in children's church. We sang a song about Zacchaeus, the wee little man who climbed up in a sycamore tree. We're going to end with this. It says this, verse 1, Luke chapter 19, verse 1. It says, in the city of Jericho, there lived a very wealthy man named Zacchaeus, who was the supervisor over all the tax collectors. As Jesus made his way through the city, Zacchaeus was eager to see Jesus. He kept trying to get a look at him, but the crowd around Jesus was massive. I love this. Zacchaeus was a very short man, and he couldn't see over the heads of the people. So he ran on ahead of everybody and climbed up in a blossoming fig tree so he could get a glimpse of Jesus as he passed by. Now you understand what's happening here. Now I got to read this to you because I found this very interesting. But it says this. This was a commentary on this. It says, we know from this passage Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man and that he was a very short man. So what acts of worship do we see right off, okay? He worships in that he sets aside all cultural and all positional pride. He is a wealthy Jew. Now listen to this. He also sets aside insecurity over his height because he climbs a tree. So he's a wealthy Jew. Now this is interesting. Culturally speaking, Jews, wealthy Jews, never ran in public. They didn't run. That's why the story about the prodigal son is interesting. Elderly or older wise men and rich men, wealthy older men, they never ran. But when you see the story about the prodigal son, what do you see? You see the father running to the son. Do you want to know why? Because they wore robes. Well, and also it was a shameful thing for Jewish men, older men, to show their legs in public. And in order to run in a robe, I mean really to run, they had to hike up that robe and somehow position it so that they could kind of turn them into shorts, so to speak. Thank God for shorts. So he had to run. Do you get the picture about Zacchaeus here? He's a rich dude. He's a short dude. I wonder if there's any pride in him. You ever heard of Napoleon syndrome, short man's disease. Wealthy and short. He's got money, but yet Jesus intrigues him to where he's running around trying to jump and see if he can see Jesus. Now, everywhere Jesus went was like a mob. Because when you think about it, people are getting healed left and right. Lepers are being healed. Blind people are being healed. Lame people are walking that were crippled. I mean, he's just, you can imagine, it's just everybody's trying to get to him. And Zacchaeus is like, I got to see this guy. And he's running around, can't get, there's a tree. And he, in this process, I wonder if the thought ever occurred to him, wait, I'm a rich Jew and I'm short. I don't know if I should climb a tree. But something in him went, nope, I'm going to set aside that and see if I can get up there and see him. So let's read on. He says, when Jesus got to that place where the tree was, he looked up into the tree and said, now I have no idea how he knew Zacchaeus' name. They didn't meet before. Hi, I'm Zacchaeus. I'm Jesus. Good to meet you. So apparently by the Lord, he knew his name. But it says this. It says, when Jesus got to that place, he looked up into the tree and Zacchaeus, he said to Zacchaeus, hurry down, for I am appointed to stay at your house today. In other words, his level of humility and worship got God's attention. Now, I want you to picture this in your mind, okay? Stick with me for just a minute here. I want you to picture this in your mind. Jesus is doing and saying only what the Father says and does. So get this picture in your mind. Jesus is walking down the street. But who's above in the heavens watching this whole situation? God the Father, correct? So Zacchaeus, Jesus probably doesn't even know Zacchaeus is around. And Zacchaeus is running around, jumping up and down, trying to see Jesus. And you know what God the Father's doing in heaven, right? He's going, Gabriel, look at that little guy down there. Gabriel says, who is that? That's Zacchaeus. Look how short he is. Look at him jump. People say, how do you think like that? That's the Holy Ghost. And when you read these scriptures, you need to allow him to teach you that. Because it will give perspective to what's going on. So when you're panicking and you're running around, the Lord's looking down going, look at them down there. And in that process, what happens? Okay, so the Holy Spirit is God. He's the person of God, and he's speaking to Jesus. And the Father is in heaven, and the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit only says what he hears the Father say. Okay, that's what the Bible says. You can read about those in John 14, 15, and 16. It talks about it. John chapter 14, 15, and 16. All right, so he's up in heaven. The Father's up in heaven. He's looking down, and he prompts Jesus. That man in the tree is Zacchaeus. Go to his house today. How? How did he do that? How did he know? God is looking down at Zacchaeus and going, that man is worshiping me. I need to speak to him. That man is worshiping me. I need to speak to him. Amen? That noise you hear is the heaters. And so it says, he says, hurry down. So verse 6, he says, so he scurried. I like that translation. He scurried. You know, the only thing that scurries is a mouse. Or a rat or something like that. This translation, when I'm reading this, I'm laughing at home. You know, I'm like, he scurried down. He's a little man and he scurried down. That's funny. So he scurried down the tree and came face to face with Jesus. So his worship brought him face to face with Jesus. As Jesus left to go with Zacchaeus, many in the crowd complained, look at this. Of all the people to have dinner with, he's going to eat in the house of a crook. If you truly worship God, there'll be people that criticize you. But God doesn't care. Does God care? Does he go and answer all the whiners? Well, they don't. He's going to go with that guy. Do you know what the real problem is in this situation? The people that are accusing Jesus of wrong don't realize that they're just as much a crook as Zacchaeus is. Do you realize the story about the prostitute and the religious leader? Do you realize the real problem there? The real problem there is that the religious leader thinks he's okay with God and he's not. That's the real problem. Why? Because he's not truly worshiping God. He's worshiping his good deeds. He doesn't truly see himself. He's not applying what he's hearing from the Word of God to himself. He's busy sitting back and applying it to everybody else. Do you know if you judged yourself all the time by the Word of God and watched yourself, you'd have no time to criticize anybody else? Because you'd be busy all the time trying to keep yourself in line. That's the real issue there. Anyway, tangent. Verse 8, Zacchaeus joyously welcomed Jesus and was amazed over Jesus' gracious visit to his home. Zacchaeus stood in front of the Lord and said, half of all that I own I will give to the poor. Isn't this interesting that these people who encounter Jesus just start giving away stuff? They just start giving it away? You know, Mike mentioned during the offering, filling up somebody's tank with gas. Have you ever done it? Have you ever gone and said, looked at the car across from you? Now, this is going to happen this week. You know it. Across the, and said, you know what? I'm going to buy your gas today. I'm going to buy your gas today. Why? Well, I got extra money. I can do it. I just want to bless you. I just want to give it to you. You know, people, Christians, they don't think that way. They don't think that way at all. But yet, hello, every person that encountered Jesus and truly opened up to him went, I want to give something away. I want to give something to somebody. You read in the early church in the book of Acts, the scripture says that they sold land and houses and gave it. You know, if the Lord tapped you on your shoulder and said, I want you to sell your house and do what with it, Lord? That's my house. I want you to sell it and give the money to so-and-so, to a ministry, to a missionary, to a church. I want you to sell your house. You know what most people do? Well, Lord, where will I live? Let me ask you a question. Could God figure out a place for you to live? Now, don't go sell your house, okay? People are like, no problem. I wasn't gonna anyway. Okay, that's all right. I'm just saying, it's in the Bible. Don't sell your house. I'm not telling you to sell your house. I'm saying, look at it. Let it sink in. Let the Lord deal with you. Where is your level? These are examples of worship. This is you learning how to lay down your life. Because as we grow as a church, God's going to go, I want you to do this. And you're going to have to make a decision. Go, okay, what do I care about more? Think about the prostitute. Did she care more about her pride? Did she care more about her expensive perfume? Or did she care more about the Lord? Can I help you with something? I like toys. I got a four-wheeler. I got a truck. My wife has a minivan. We have a nice house. We have nice things in our house. I've given away a truck before. Given. Sowed it. No, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just telling you, that's where I am. That's where what the Lord was dealing with me about. So I did it. I sold it and gave the money to a church that I was working at because they needed money. And the Lord told me, I want you to do this. Now listen to me closely. The Lord's not going to tell you to do something that you're not ready for. Okay? How many here are ready to start a church on your own? Okay. But we were. We were. Why were we ready for that? Because we've grown to that point. You say, what does this have to do with worship? Everything. Because the more you yield your life to the Lord, the more you're going to give your life to him. The more you're going to give your life to him. And the more he's going to go, he's going to tap you on the shoulder and go, I want the alabaster box. Or from the beginning, how about Genesis chapter 22? He'll tap you on the tapped Abraham on the shoulder and said, I want Isaac. What are you saying? He wants my son? No, he wants the most precious thing to you so that he's the most precious thing to you. He wants to see where he ranks. And the longer you walk with the Lord, you give more and more and more. Don't try and do this tomorrow. These are steps of faith, not Grand Canyon jumps of faith. Okay? Where are you at? You say, well, I don't know where I'm at. Well, you need to seek the Lord and find out. Hear him. Pray. Read the word. The Spirit of God will speak to you. And he'll say, I want this. Can you give me this? And the Lord, you know, you guys know the Lord. He's so patient. He just keep dealing with you. Now, listen to me. I have not done this perfect. Okay? I don't know anybody that has. Yeah, except for Jesus. Yeah, he did it right. We're counting on him. But what I'm saying is, you're going to give more. He's going to speak to you more. You're going to see things in his word, and you're going to go, you know what? I want to obey you that. I want to obey you, Lord, in that. And you give, and you give, and you give. And it's not just financial. It's every area of your life. And you yield to him more and more. And when you do, he gets more access to your life. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to pray over you. Hallelujah. Did you learn anything today? Amen. God's good, isn't he? You know, we want to come in here every Sunday and just expect God to just mess with us. You know, I don't care who stands behind the pulpit and preaches or who's standing next to somebody in the church foyer area or in the parking lot or wherever. If you hear something and it changes your life, it was not that person. It was the Holy Ghost. And there's no way that any of us can accomplish anything without the Lord's help. So let's just pray. I want to pray over you this morning. I want to encourage you. If you don't know the Lord, you need to get to know Him and receive Him. Make a commitment to Him. Listen, if you've backslidden from the Lord, what do you mean by that? You mean that means you had a relationship with Him and you've just walked off away from it. You need to get closer to Him. It could save your life, literally. So be aware of that. If you need prayer for those things, Mike is available, Joel's available, Tess is available. If you're a woman, if you're a man, come see one of the men. But after the service, we are available to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, if you need prayer for your mind, we'll pray for you here today. We don't need to wait. And we can do it right after the service if you want. Just come up and ask us. We're ready to go. So if you need that. But let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this group of people, Lord, here today. Lord, you helped us today. Thank you. Just tell Him thank you. Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for showing us. Lord, you said in your word that we could accomplish nothing without you. So, Lord, we want to do everything with you so that we can actually accomplish something. Bear much fruit in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we purpose after we've heard these messages, Lord, on worship and what you've taught us about worship and what we know, Lord, that by the Holy Spirit, you're going to stir these things up in us and we're going to continue to serve and worship you. You said the doer of your word would be blessed. So we purpose to be doers of your word. We purpose to put it into practice, to let it saturate our mind, to let it govern what we think, say, and what we do every day, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your goodness and your mercy towards us. Thank you for increasing our knowledge of you and helping us by your Holy Spirit, by the grace and strength of the Spirit, to walk out, to do what we've heard. We purpose to worship you, Lord, this week. We purpose to worship you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. In the name of Jesus, everybody said amen. All right, God bless you guys. There might be more coffee out there if you want to grab it before you leave. Say hi to somebody if you see somebody you don't know. Have a very blessed week, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.